Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture is Ephesians 6, 13 to 17. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
But the passage that we're speaking from this morning is a passage that Paul wrote when he was in prison. Now, because he was a Roman citizen, his time in prison isn't quite as onerous as it sounds. It was actually while he was on his missionary journeys that he suffered terribly. If you want to read about that, read the second half. Anyway, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. It was a fairly comfortable habitation, but consider the time in which he lived. It wasn't easy to travel, so he didn't have as many visitors as I had when I was only incarcerated for 14 days in my apartment because of not having an elevator. But he received a lot of letters, and he wrote far more than the letters that we still have with us today. But yet still, day in and day out, it was the same thing. Week in and week out, it was the same thing. Month in and month out, for up to 2 years. I can't hit myself, that shows up louder than it felt. That mind-numbing monotony. I'm sure some of you can relate to that sometime. You've experienced mind-numbing monotony. But it was in that monotony that he saw this wonderful metaphor that we have been looking at today. And out of that, I am sure that he was enriched himself as well as enriching others. So we're going to look at it a little bit closer today. But may I start by saying that I only found this metaphor to be of particularly value to me about 15 years ago. And the pivotal moment was when I went to a seminar on post-polio syndrome. For those of you who don't know me, when I was 5, I had polio. And I wanted to go to this particular because the only researcher, the only person who was doing any research on the post-polio syndrome was this woman at McMaster's. And she'd fortunately come to Vancouver, and I went to hear her speak, and I really believed her, not only because she was smart and intelligent and doing the research, but she had post-polio also. And that was why she decided to do some research. And one of the things that she talked about during that time was the body scan, the value of the body scan for anybody who lives with any type of chronic pain or weakness. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the body scan, it is very simple. You lie down on your bed with the same amount of pillows under your head as under your knees, and you breathe deeply, and you look, and in your mind's eye, you go down to your feet, and you breathe into them. You know the pain they're feeling, and you just breathe into them. And you do that all the way up to the top of your head. And if you just do that part, it takes about 20 minutes. But what I discovered at the end of those 20 minutes is that because I was more relaxed, my heart was more open to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say to me. And it wasn't long before I started incorporating this metaphor into my doing the body scan. That was wonderful at first. and it was wonderful all the way through. I just got reminded of how imperfect I still am in the course of doing it. But I would just imagine the peace of God just radiating and moving through my feet and my lower legs, and they would just relax, and it was so lovely. But then one day, the Holy Spirit had the nerve, those of you who know me know I'm kidding, to remind me of somebody at that time who didn't give me peace, who frankly annoyed me. And I did my best, you know, when I'm around those type of people, to be polite and to be kind. But I knew that in my heart that it was more than just their annoying me. It was my judging them. And that if I wanted to learn more about that peace radiating through my body, I had to begin to look at everybody with the same amount of love. Now, we can't be best buds with everybody. That's impossible. But we can treat one another with respect, with kindness, with just plain old decency. And by the way, kindness and goodness are two of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So, of course, the Holy Spirit was going to speak to me about them. And so then I would move up to my upper legs, up to my waist, and I would imagine just putting on the breastplate, the King James. It's hard for me, having been brought up in the King James Version. The first word that comes to my mind is the girdle of truth, which, of course, is outdated in our way of thinking. But if you have ever needed to wear a brace to support some part of your body, think of that when you come to this and think, okay, what truth do I need to hear today? This past Tuesday night, the pain in my hips had gone up to 8. So while I was doing my body scan, I was trying to figure out why it went up to 8. That's what the truth I thought that I wanted to know. I wanted to know why it had gone up that high that night. And I'm thinking of all of the possible reasons. Carolyn, you know better than that. You know you're just trying to be in control, and you're never going to be completely in control of your body because it's too intricate, it's too marvelous, it's too wonderful, it has too many millions of nerve endings. There's just no way you're ever going to be in control of your body. So I laid back. I still was lying down, but I laid back down figuratively and said, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What's the truth I need to hear? And tears came to my eyes when the Holy Spirit whispered inside of me, you are my beloved daughter. On my own, I thought of that one of my favorite verses in 1 Corinthians, first two verses of chapter 8. Where it says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love edifies. And so I relaxed in that truth. And then as we move up to the breastplate of righteousness and we put it on, the first thing we should do is thank God that he has provided us with the righteousness of Christ that we can always clothe ourselves with again and again and again. Once again, the Holy Spirit might and you might not. You might just get to relax and enjoy the fact that you are sealed in his righteousness. That is never going to be taken away from you. I might be reminded of one of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience, for example. And I thank the Lord, despite how I might have acted. You get to know yourself pretty well when you live with pain, because you're always looking. for similarities. When my pain level is at a 7, that's when I'm likely to be impatient. I know it. Does that stop me from being impatient? Not all the time. But I thank God and I give myself the opportunity to take again the fruit of the Spirit who is dwelling within me, that precious patience is something that is part of the armor of God that has been given to you. The armor has already been given. It's up to us to choose whether we put it on or not, but it's already a given that it belongs to us. And then I go up to the head and I put on the helmet of salvation. Now, I know that there are enough people in here who have studied Scripture that they know that salvation is talked about in several different tenses. We were saved. There was a day we said yes to Jesus, and we became saved. But it's also a present tense. It is also, He is saving us. He is changing us. Now, because that's the part of the armor that we put on our head, sometimes God reminds me of how I respond to not being as smart as I used to be. And I've got several good physical reasons for that outside of the fact that I'm 72. I mean, they're just there. It's just a reality. And when I plan something and I don't do it, do you know what my first response was? To be angry at myself. To be mad at me. To even call myself stupid. And you know what the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about as I was putting on the helmet of salvation? He reminded me of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. And that gentleness doesn't talk like that. That gentleness doesn't think that way. That gentleness doesn't make, you know, that if you're at all familiar with the ego, you know that the ego chatters all the time. It chatters by telling us how we don't measure up. And it challenges us by saying, oh, you're so good at that. You did a good job. But the helmet of salvation, gently, the Holy Spirit gently blows that chatter away and says, you are gentle because you wear the helmet of salvation. And I'm so glad that salvation is also a future tense, that I will be saved. And every day we're closer to it, no matter what age we are. We're closer to it. And I look forward, and we should look forward, when we put on the helmet of salvation, to looking forward to that day when we will be in His image, we will be perfect, we will be free of sorrow, we will be free of pain. Now, some of the illustrations that I have used today for what happens when we put on the body of Christ may seem rather simple, but I can guarantee you, as you get used to doing it, and as God knows that you're able to handle it, the Holy Spirit will the Holy Spirit will push some of those buttons that were inserted into you when you were young. Some of the anger that your body still holds. Some of the fears that your body still holds. Some of the sorrow that your body still holds. And He will begin to gently work those things out of your system. And the reason I say all of this is because until we are living in peace, until we are living in the righteousness that we have experienced in Christ, until we are living in truth, until we are living in salvation, we aren't as able to handle evil when it's thrown at us. We aren't as able to use the Word of God to deal with one another. Because the right way for the Spirit, for the Word of God to be used is by the Spirit, not by us. And the Spirit is what we need to listen for in this. We're not always going to agree. That's impossible. God doesn't want us to. He doesn't want us to be carbon copies of each other. Imagine how boring life would be if we were. But our church should be a safe place where in love and in righteousness and in patience and in gentleness we speak to one another. Paul tells us, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says it twice in 1 Corinthians. Once it's the singular you, so that I could, if I was Paul, I could point at each one of you individually and say, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But he also said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit later in I forget which one came first, that you, in the plural you, we're familiar with that. Even we don't have a you for one person and a bunch of us. But together, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. May that be even truer in our lives than it ever has before. God bless you.